Good morning. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joins us now. Jeff, how you doing today, bud?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, depressed about the state of the Pirates, but in terms of real life, feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good. Jeff.
Let me tell you about depressed. Walking in that clubhouse after the game. Dude, you try not to have emotion in this, but you feel for these dudes. I mean, it's just bad.
18 games under 500 on May 20th, only 7 games up on the Rockies, who are just on an historically awful pace. And Jeff, the national talking heads have been discussing the Pirates and whether or not they should trade Paul Skeens, and enough of these talking heads have now said that to make me wonder, is Paul Skeens' agent trying to get the wheels in motion? Is this like tinfoil hat stuff for me, or could that be a possibility here?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't see in that clubhouse of like Skeens actively being away from his teammates or sulking or anything like that. But even on his own, could the agent be throwing that out there just to, sure. Because, I mean, we've kind of seen how how the hot dog is made over the last few years with how much agents kind of influence national people and how much what they put out there are thrown at them by agents. And yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. It could be hypothetical. It also could be, you know, what is going to happen. I mean, Paul Skeens is not going to sign an extension here. I mean, it reminds me back in a decade ago with Gerrit Cole. I mean, there was no way that Gerrit Cole was ever going to sign an extension with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's a California dude. He wanted to make money. I understand. We all want him. I mean, I'm not knocking him for that. But you knew that there was no way he was going to sign an extension, no matter how good they were. How are they going to be able to afford what Paul Skeens is going to command?
Jeff, why do you think that the Pirates made the decision to wait on getting surgery for Jared Jones? Was it a Jared Jones decision? Was it a Pirates decision? I mean, it's kind of inevitable. I mean, the issue was the elbow, and you knew that probably ultimately he's going to have to get Tommy John. So why wait so long? Now he's out a season and a half. Like, we're not going to see him until 2027.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, there are things I'll knock the Pirates for. I mean, Jared didn't want surgery. I mean, no player wants to have surgery. You want to do whatever you can, as you guys know, to avoid it. He had been making a few strides. You know, he had been able to throw out to distance. And then a few days ago, like, he just felt it in the elbow. Now, as a team, you can't tell a player, like, listen, you got to have surgery. If the player says, listen, I want to wait, I want to get another opinion, and normally when they get another opinion, it's inevitable, like, hey, it's in your best interest. But ultimately, it's up to the player. We're going to find out a little bit more from Todd Tomczyk how it all went down. But, you know, Jared wanted to avoid it. He thought there was a way that he'd be able to come back this year. And sadly, as everyone is kind of finding out, if he does indeed have Tommy John surgery, not only does he miss this year, he's going to miss next as well.
It makes
me sick. And
that's
what sucks about the timing.
Terrible.
And, you know, guys, I mean, it seems like it's a thing now. Like, everybody has come back from some type of knee surgery in sports. I mean, how many pitchers have come back from Tommy John, and you don't even know they had Tommy John surgery because they're so good on the back end?
It just sort of hit me in the middle of that discourse. A question popped into my head. Will Paul Skeens be a Pirate the next time Jared Jones throws a pitch for the Pirates? I mean, so, it's certainly not 100%. I
mean, 2 years, and then what if 2027 is a lockout? Because that's when the CBA is up. So, I mean, is it a possibility? I mean, maybe. I mean, we'll kind of see. And I mean, 2027 is going to be fascinating just because, you know, what rules are going to change, all of that. I mean, we don't have to get into that yet, but yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, it sucks for Jared first off. I mean, you come off this rookie year.
Yes.
People are excited about you. you get into spring training, you get going. It's like the excitement around the Pirates was as much as you felt, maybe in a decade. And he's a big part of that. And then he's throwing, and then he feels a little something, and then he thinks, no, we'll make this work. And he does some rehab, slowly starting to improve. And then here we are in May. Your team has just had a disastrous start, and now you might be out 2 years.
Feel awful for the guy. Jeff, I got a stat here, and this is the stat that to me underscores this team's futility more than any other stat. The Pirates are 8-21 when Skeens, Keller, or Heaney pitch. Skeens has a 2.44 ERA, Keller a 3.88, and Heaney with a 3.02. Is there one thing for you that stands out as like the most damning statistic or the thing that bothers you most about what's going on here?
From a statistic wise, of the 24 straight games, under five, a third of those have been one or fewer runs,
Oh my
meaning zero
God.
or one runs. But I mean, here's the thing that maybe most people don't see. Like, Adam Frazier not getting a bunt down on Sunday. Like, come on, man. You've been in the league 10 years. Like, that stuff frustrates me.
Yes.
Like, did Tommy Pham have to slide to make that catch?
No.
Or could he just caught it on the run? Like, is that, I know a lot of guys do it, but like stuff like these guys are veterans.
Right.
It's one thing if Canario makes a mistake or one of the younger guys, even if Henry Davis, has a tough game, he's still young in the league. Like, these guys making mistakes drive me more nuts on simple things than some of the other stuff. Because it's not like O'Neill Cruz isn't trying. It's not like Brian Reynolds isn't trying. They're just struggling big time, and that stinks. But these other things are just, I mean, they're simple plays that should be made.
Jeff, the Steelers did make a call on Chris Olave, receiver for the Saints. I don't know how that's going to go. It seemed like it probably isn't going to go through. So do you think the Steelers ultimately make a trade for a number two wide receiver? Do you think they ultimately settle for a Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper, a free agent veteran wide receiver that they'll give a 1 year deal to for this year?
I mean, it's good to go out and check. And for Olave, it'd be a guy that you're probably buying cheap, given some of the injuries, and you're rolling the dice a little bit on somebody like that. So I think those calls are really beneficial, just because you may not give up much, and there's a risk there, but the reward could be big. But I do think we get in, not that guys won't be at it or you won't make trades, but we're starting to get to that point. Man, once you get past mini camp or mandatory mini camp during US Open week, I mean, ain't much going on in the league from that point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your window that you can get away. So, I mean, could something still happen? Maybe. I think they're doing their due diligence, but I wouldn't describe what the Steelers are doing as actively hunting for a number two off somebody else's roster that, maybe one of these veterans, but even that could be maybe by mini camp. If not, then it's going to be a coming in training camp. And we have seen veterans come in more so defensively, but we have seen that over the last few years.
Jeff, I'm just combing over my contract here, and it states that I have to ask you an Aaron Rodgers question. So here it comes. Best to your knowledge, and I don't know that this is something you're checking in on every day, but are they still buying the Rodgers thing down on South Water Street? They still feel good about it?
Yeah, I think they remain patient with Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think anything's changed. I think the deal is in place. The sides know the parameters. Now it's just a matter of, is he going to say yes? Or is all of this, hey, I don't want to look bad by missing OTAs. So, yeah, we've got a deal in place, but I've got some things to work out. Maybe he got married. I know that's the latest thing. There was a wedding ring on some video that he was on. So, dude, I will say this. If he does indeed sign, it is going to be a fascinating year.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Jeff, appreciate your time as always, buddy. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn. Got a lot of great stuff up on 93.7thefan.com. as well, the written word, not just the spoken word,
mm-hmm.
for Jeff Hathorn. Tunch Yelkin, Justin Hartwig, a couple of guys who wore 62, Dorn.
Yes.
Tunch, RIP, what a man.
Tunch punch.
That guy would go all around the NFL showing the Tunch punch.
We did bang, it in bang. Tennessee.
Tunch came down?
No, but Mike Mularkey was the tight end coach.
There you go.
He tried to pull a fast one. He's like, I bet you guys don't know where this drill came from. And I was like, Tunch Yelkin. And he was like, Dorn, I was going to say you didn't count because I know you're from Pittsburgh, and I know you would know who Tunch Yelkin is, but it was a dot drill where you would place your hands and kind of strike your hands. Fantastic drill.
If you didn't know, that would have been bad.
That would have been bad.
We'll react to Jeff coming up next, some of the stuff he had to say about the Pirates, and I'll react real quick to something he said right now. He's right. That Adam Frazier bunt, in a season where you're 17 games under 500 at that point, it shouldn't make you as mad as it made me, but it did. Because Jared Triolo's hitting 145. Adam Frazier's hitting around the Mendoza line. Tommy Pham, 183. Nick Solak, 100. Alexander Canario, 230. Brian Reynolds, 205. Everyone on the team is hitting around 200 or below 200. Work on a bunt here and there.
Yeah.
You got to move runners over.
Yeah.
You got to do the little things right, which means you can't hit the ball over the fence. Practice the little things. For goodness sakes. Are you smarter than a plumber coming up in about 12 minutes? After that, we got storylines abound in the NFL. It's the NFL owners meeting, Dorn. Flag football in the 2028 Olympics. Will NFL players be allowed to go there? Reseeding in the NFL playoffs. And the tush push.
Mm.
All being discussed and voted on today. Jeff Hathorn was on with us in the last segment, and I wondered aloud if all these national media members talking heads who are saying the Pirates should trade Paul Skeens, does that come from Skeens' agent? Is he putting it out there? Because I think Paul is too smart to ever publicly request a trade.
Yeah, never.
I just don't see that happening. I want to be clear on this. If he did, I'd get it.
Yeah.
I'd endorse it. And I think the majority of Pittsburgh would.
Yeah.
And we talked about this briefly yesterday. Like Myles Garrett, he put out one of them transfer portal statements. Like he had a graphic on it. He thanked Cleveland fans, requested a trade, basically said this franchise sucks, you can't win here. And I feel like, and this is anecdotal, but I feel like more Browns fans than not were okay with that for Myles Garrett. Because they know that that team, that franchise, has been wasting him by doing stupid stuff like signing Deshaun Watson. I think if Paul Skeens today requested a trade, more Pirates fans than not would say, can't blame him.
Right.
I think they'd celebrate him. It would suck to see him go. I don't want to see him go. But I would totally understand. I'd support Paul Skeens if he did that.
And you say about maybe his agents putting it out there, but maybe like as soon as he was drafted, and obviously he had an agent beforehand, before he was drafted, maybe that was already put in his ear, like, look. Probably going to go to the Pirates. This is their history. This is the situation there. It probably isn't going to look good starting out. So if we are at a point where we feel that you need to maximize your career somewhere else, we're gonna press the button. I bet you that conversation might have been had initially before he got drafted by the Pirates, knowing he was going here.
I mean, a look is worth a thousand words, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or a picture is worth a thousand words. That's the saying. TM, I just came up with that, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Skeens at the end of that game on Sunday, man, where he's up on the top rung, and he looked like he was dead in his eyes.
Oh.
I twirl eight innings, give up one run, because the guy who is paid to pick the ball at third base couldn't pick a ball at third base, and then we couldn't turn two on really what should have been a routine double play. That's why I lose the game. I strike out nine dudes in eight innings. And I got guys patting me on the back. Yikes, man. So it wouldn't shock me if this was his agent saying, hey, Ken Rosenthal. Hey, Greg Amsinger. Hey, all you big national talking heads. Maybe throw it out there. Throw it out there.
Yep.
And then maybe a team makes an offer the Pirates can't refuse. Maybe I'm naive. I didn't see it getting to this point right now. Like, look, he's going to get traded. Not now, but he's going to get traded at some point. We've always known that. You couldn't have told me 2 years ago when he got drafted. You couldn't have told me last year when he was having the season he was having that the big talking point around Paul Skeens in May 2025 would be, oh, maybe the Pirates should consider trading him now.
You didn't think so at all?
I wouldn't have believed that. No, not
knowing what
years.
They did this offseason? Knowing what they did at the trade deadline? You didn't see this coming maybe at all? Like
you just don't get this quickly into a guy's career. He has been here slightly over a year. That just tells you how bad the team is.
Right.
And I asked Jeff, like, what's one statistic, what's one thing that really, I guess, encapsulates this futility? And I gave the stat that they're 8-21 when their big three of Skeens, Keller, and Haney starts. But really, the thing that shows the futility is that we're in year two. Year two. And it's, oh, they should just trade Paul Skeens. What a disaster. It's hard to be 18 games under 500 on May 20th. Like, that is an accomplishment. What did Zangrilli say? I'm not mad. I'm impressed. This is impressive.
They found a way to grab a pickaxe, a shovel, and dig even a deeper hole to a rung of hell that is far past Satan himself.
That was, what, two Skeens starts ago?
Yes.
So if they're past Satan himself, where the hell are they now?
In the depths.
They're, like, the Bible couldn't even come up with what they're in right now.
Nope.
I'm not mad. That's impressive.
There it is. All right, we've been way too doom and gloom today, and I apologize for that. Let's have some fun with our guy, Southside Jay, coming up next. Are you smarter than a plumber? It's a trivia game that is gripping the tri-state nation. Nay, dare I say, the United States of America on the Odyssey app. AUDACY, your Odyssey app. We'll have fun with Southside Jake when we come back. Yes! And we can phone a friend today.
Yes, we can. Nice.
We can use the big Syracuse brain of intern Dom should we find ourselves in a ditch here. This is a wildly popular segment. The new format is incredible. Southside Jake from Southside Plumbing and Heating with us now for Who Wants to Be Smarter Than a Plumber. Hi, Jake.
Good morning, guys. I'm a little concerned about that. You know, you're right. He's a little bit smarter, I think, than Callis.
We love Callis. So I'm a little concerned. However, yes, I would agree. And we've been wiping the floor with you anyway without Callis. So now we've got an extra arrow in our quiver here.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. I'm going to have to pull out all the stunts today. That's for dang sure. But how are you guys today?
We're right. Excellent. Is this the part where you ask us how we are just so that you can tell us all the plumbing stuff you've been doing?
Oh, I mean, if we want to go down that route, we can. I mean, or we can just transition to text 928-9370 the fan and go with who wants to be smarter than a plumber, whatever you want to do.
I mean, I gave you the opportunity and you flubbed it, so maybe we'll do it at the end. Let's get to the game show.
All right, guys. All right, let's go with our first segment question here. And again, we do have lifelines. Phone a friend. 50-50, and the pass feature, where we get a new question. So, here we go. In 1921, the Olympic Committee made this the official mileage of a full marathon. A, 16.4 miles. B, 29.4 miles. C, 22.4 miles. Or D, 26.2 miles.
I mean, I know 26.2 is the marathon now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that was the marathon in 1921.
I don't think people could run that far back then.
What? What, because they didn't have inhalers or
creatine? I mean, we watched Three Stooges every morning. You think the Three Stooges could run that far back then?
Them? No. Normal people, maybe. They would just run it slower, right? Like, you could always have run 26.2 miles.
Everybody was ripping cigs back then.
Damn right. And then we were better off for it as a society. That's when men were men. And you drink whiskey and you get hair on your chest.
I think we pass.
Pass?
You know what it is.
I think we got to go 26.2.
We have all these lines, all these lifelines.
I don't want to use one on this. A marathon's 26.2 miles.
And you think that's whatever? Okay.
And our fan five alarm marathon is 26.2 hours of straight broadcasting excellence.
All right.
Mm.
If we get it wrong, though, you're going to be staring daggers at me the whole show.
A lot of anomalies there.
All right. Hmm. You want to go with it or no?
Do you want to go
with it? I'll own with it.
All right.
I'll own with
it. You have three lifeline, guys. I mean, come on. You can use a lifeline.
50-50.
Okay. Is that what you want to do?
Yes, go. Do it.
On the 50-50. All right. We are keeping A, 16.4 miles, and D, 26.2 miles.
Oh, my gosh. We're going D, man. You want to go D?
D, final answer.
Okay. Final answer, yeah.
You are correct.
Oh, you got lucky.
Lucky?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now
good.
We wasted a lifeline.
All right.
Let's go to question two. Right.
We have two more left.
All right, question two.
We got Dom.
What is the eligible age for players in the Little League World Series?
Oh, crap. 12? Question mark?
A, 10 to 12. B, 9 to 11. C, 11 to 13. Or D, 10 to 14. There is a range, guys.
10 to 12.
Do you need me to repeat those?
No. I think 10 to 12 is right. Dom, you were 12 last year. Could you play in the Little League World Series?
Yeah, I could.
You want to go with 12? 10 to 12?
Yeah.
Final answer.
10 to 12, final answer. You are correct.
Nice.
10
nice.
To 12.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, all right, man. So we beat you, but let's do the third one because it's wildly popular.
Okay, wildly popular. Third question. What major North American pro sports featured the first woman on the team game roster and to play? Hint, it was an exhibition game. A, the NHL. B, the MLB. C, the NFL. Or D, NBA.
Wasn't it the NFL?
Dom, do you know this one?
No. I was going to say NHL, but if Doran says NFL, I defer to him.
Isn't there a kicker?
There was a kicker in Colorado. Hmm. No, it was Vanderbilt.
That's right.
It was Vanderbilt.
One of those gold-wearing teams. I should probably know this. We should probably know this. Women have made great strides for equality.
Well, it wasn't baseball, and it wasn't basketball.
This was
how do you know
almost
that?
30 years ago.
Oh, okay. So I don't...
30 years ago?
I wasn't thinking mm-hmm. that. Let's pass.
Pass. Yeah, what are we doing? Let's pass. Tell us the answer, though.
Okay. The answer was the NHL. 1992, Tampa Bay Lightnings. Manon Rehume was a goalie. She played one period. She gave up 2 goals on 9 shots. Not too good, I will say.
That's not that bad.
Okay.
Go on. One more question.
What MLB stadium has the deepest outfield? Hmm. A, Chase Field in Arizona.
I think it's
Coors. B, Coors Field in Colorado. B, Oracle Park in San Francisco. Or C, Fenway Park in Boston.
I think it's Coors. The banquet beer. You like Coors?
Sure.
My first ever beer was Miller Genuine Draft.
I think mine was too. Mm.
MGD.
Yeah.
Dom, you had your first beer last week at Williamsport for the Little League World Series. What was your first beer?
Michelob Ultra.
Nice. Oh. What was your first beer? Southside?
I think, when I was like 12 years old, I think my dad gave me a Coors Light one time. I don't honestly remember.
Were the mountains blue?
I think that was before the mountains turned blue. I think, like I said, that was a long time ago.
Was that the love train? People all over the world?
Yeah, I think
you're just skipping over the fact he said he was 12.
Bullet.
Yeah, 12 years old, pretty young. But I guess as a plumber,
That's we're on a camping trip, in the foothills of West Virginia, out having a fire, fatherly bonding, pulling to the fire. Having
did
some
you drink
stories.
A whole said, hey. Beer at 12?
I did. I do remember because I didn't want my father to think I was
a sissy
not
boy.
A man.
Yeah.
Yes, a sissy boy.
It's Coors right. Field. How about that?
B is incorrect. It is Fenway Park of Boston with a 420-foot outfield.
I misunderstood the question. I thought it was surface area.
Okay.
All right, Jake, is this the time when you tell us about plumbing things, or do we just say goodbye?
Oh, no. I guess I could tell you about plumbing things. I mean, industry is good. We are busy. So we are looking for a few good men to join our team. or women. We don't discriminate, of course. So apply today at www.southsideplum.com.
Nice.
Very good.
Nice.
Jake, you're the man. We kicked your ass. Goodbye.
Goodbye, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jake.
You too. Coors Field's got a considerably large outfield. But yeah.
You were very certain about that one.
Yeah, because I thought it was just the pure square footage of the outfield, which would have to be Coors Field. I'll look that up during the break. We can get intern Dom on that, too. Two Googles for the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, NFL owners meetings underway. Could you see NFL players in the Olympics? How about that tush-push? Is it going away? And how about the new potential playoff format? We'll get to all that when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. We're just talking with Southside Jake, who said that his first beer was when he was 12, and he drank the whole thing.
Yep.
Like, I've heard of people
taking a sip.
Ugh. Daddy Southside was passing him 12 ounces of goodness, man. That's wild to me. So we get this text. Funny first beer story. We used to steal our buddy's dad's beer little by little, hide it in his drop ceiling, then throw him in a fridge when we had enough. Fast forward 16 years, he had HVAC work done, found one still up there.
Nice.
So I just, at that gala I was at a couple of weeks ago, Doran, I wound up talking to the guy who bought my parents' house.
Oh.
The one that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And what we would do in high school is we would drink beers, and then we had a deck put on off the addition. And so you could go into the basement, and you could actually open up a back door from the basement into the crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
So after we would drink beers, we would sleuth on down and throw all our empties. Well, I guess he went into the crawl space, and there was like hundreds of empty beer cans and beer bottles. That wasn't the first course of action. Like the first time that we ever snuck some beers, I took a duffel bag with all the empties. I didn't know what the hell to do with it. So in the dead of night, and this is bad, sorry environment, I took the entire duffel bag and shoved it in a sewer drain.
Oh, man.
Because I didn't want to throw them down one by one. It would be too loud.
Oh, my goodness.
So a whole duffel bag full of like 30 beers.
You didn't think about just...
I didn't think about anything.
You didn't think about taking the duffel bag and putting them in your neighbor's garbage can?
Interesting.
Or
a much better idea.
A garbage can?
Literally anywhere other than where I put it.
And then a sewer. Yes.
And then here's the other thing. We lived right off of, if people are familiar with Mount Lebanon, right off of Beverly Road. So it was the corner of Beverly Road and Marlin Drive East. So right by the Beverly Shops. So I ran out basically to one of the busiest streets in Lebo to then dunk those beers down there. What a moron.
Yeah, dumb.
If you have first time drinking stories, we'd love to hear them at 412-928-9370. Any funny stories, you can text them to us. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. NFL owners meeting, Storm. And it appears as though they're going to pass a rule that lets players participate in flag football in the 2028 Olympics. I'm asking this seriously. Would you consider doing it?
If I was playing? Or if I was in shape
now,
still?
Yeah.
Now? No, not now.
You could get in shape.
No. Now? No.
Throw some steel around, get a little cardio in.
5-6 years ago, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you like this?
I need to know more of the structure. Like, are they playing different countries in flag football? I guess so,
it's Olympics.
Right? Like, I mean, they're going to win.
Of course. They're probably going to win, my understanding, even if you don't have NFL players.
Right. If you just have flag football American players, like, those guys are really good at flag football.
Yeah. Because they're all like 5 foot four.
They're really good. Like, they're
a bunch of Doms and Crowleys running around out there.
Oh, I don't know how exciting it'll be.
I do think you'll find guys that, you know, are bouncing from team to team, trying to hang on in the NFL. Guys who may go to the CFL, UFL. I could see them trying to get on the team.
The only reason why it's probably a bad idea is because you have everything to lose. Like, if you do lose one game and you are a former or current NFL, is it former players or concurrent?
Current.
Players? So if you're a current NFL player, say like Tyreek Hill.
Oh, he'd be a stud.
And let's say like Ja'Marr Chase. And let's say you get Mason Rudolph as the quarterback and he elects to play. and they lose to like China. That's bad. You know how bad that would be?
Could start a world war.
It would be, I mean, that's the only problem is it's flag football. You can't play, you know, you guys are used to playing real football.
Who would win more flag football games, Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph, 412-928-9370?
It'd be bad. It'd be a bad look.
Well, and imagine if a guy got hurt. And here's the other thing. Again, I don't know what level of player is going to be in this thing. Like, no, it's absolutely not worth it for a guy like Tyreek Hill or Ja'Marr Chase. You are getting nothing. I mean, you're playing for your country, okay, fine, but you're getting nothing in terms of payment. You could get hurt, and it's going to be in August. Like, it's right before the season.
Well, it's during training camp?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It has to be former players because everybody else is going to be at camp, right?
That's why I think it's going to be hangers-on, but that's why the rule is going to be passed, Storm, because they're going to be given the opportunity to leave, like the NHL guys.
Oh, man, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's going to go, but I don't worry about them getting hurt because you're basically doing that anyways. Like it's routes on air, basically. You're doing one-on-ones. Like, that's what you're doing.
You have just as much of a chance of tearing your ACL at training camp as you would playing for your team in the Olympics.
Routes, right. And the quarterbacks aren't going to get hurt. They're just standing there throwing. They're not going to get tackled or land. Somebody's not going to land on their leg. So, but I don't know about guys leaving training camp to go play for their country in flag football. I don't see how that's
America, Doran.
I don't see how that's going to work.
I think Tutu Atwell would be good.
Very.
Like Kenneth Gainwell.
Yes.
Let's put together a great flag football team.
I mean, I think that you could, I mean, even Calvin Austin would be really good.
Oh, Calvin be great.
Very good.
Roman Wilson wouldn't be able to pick up the playbook.
Yep.
They do run the football.
A little bit.
So you would need
yep.
quick dudes.
Yeah, the guy from Dallas, the little running back, Deuce.
Mm-hmm.
Forget his last name.
The one who went to
Kansas State. Yes,
yeah.
Him.
Deuce Vaughn.
Yes.
That guy tortured me for a couple of years in college. Very good player. Texter, I drank a whole six-pack of Coors Light at 12 years old on New Year's. Oh, my God.
That's just ridiculous. First, I had to have thrown up.
Absolutely. First beer I ever had, it was my 15th birthday. I had cousins who lived in the area. They were 21. So we went over there. My parents had to have known what the hell was going on. Yeah. But I remember having three MGDs and like not being able to stand.
Right.
Because I was
110 pounds.
Yeah, I was 98 pounds.
98.
I had to have been right around there. You have three MGDs, you're falling all over yourself, and oh yeah, I projectile vomited like a fire-breathing dragon. Anyway, coming up next, what are some other rules proposals coming from the NFL owners' meetings? And we'll tell you why this Steelers schedule might finish just as tough as last year's Steelers schedule.